Books with Aaron, Polly, and Andrew. I'm Aaron.
This is Paul.
And I am Andrew.
Welcome, 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 guys.
No Wayne this week. Feels weird.
As a dog dad, one of the things that you know, those of us with the dogs, we're directed by the veterinarian to always be mindful of changes, you know, things that mm-hmm. changes in your dog's behavior or how they're acting, that kind of thing. Well, my dog Elmer, who is 12, developed a cough, and I didn't think mm-hmm. anything about it, but it kind of hung around. And after a week, I'm like, we need to get that checked out. So took him to the vet, and they, you know, checked his lungs. Checked his heart, did a lab test to make sure he didn't have an infection, took his temperature, you know, did the full exam head to toe, did a full body x-ray to make sure that there's nothing goofy going on, you know, pulmonary wise. And $500 later, he has allergies. And I'd like to point out, he and I both now take the same medication.
Which antihistamine are you both taking?
Claritin.
Yeah, okay. Just checking.
$500. $500. Love that dog, but damn it.
$500 is a lot of love, let me tell you. Yeah.
That is a lot of love. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That can buy about 2 hours of love in Vegas. But, you know, really, a dog's love is forever, so I guess that's something. Well, I'm glad Elmer doesn't have anything seriously wrong with him. I think the last time...
It's the same thing that you have wrong with you, basically.
That's right.
I think the last time I spent that much money on one of my dogs was about a year ago, 9 months ago, when actually one of them developed a C. diff and bowel infection.
Oh, no.
We had to take her to the doggy emergency room on a Saturday to get fluids and medicines and do all the testing to figure out that she had C. diff, was causing her bloody diarrhea. But I will tell you what, I didn't know this, and I don't know if you guys ever seen your dogs get IV fluids. They don't put the IV in a vein, so it's not really an IV. They put it underneath the subcutaneous tissue, like between their shoulder blades. Mm-hmm. And so they put like a half liter, three quarters of a liter of fluid. And, you know, Frenchie's a big 60-pound dog, but she still had this little camel hump develop on her back from the fluid. And then just slowly, you know, the course of the next 3-4 hours, it gets absorbed. But yeah, it was kind of fun. I mean, I felt bad because she felt miserable, but she had this funny little camel hump for a while.
You know, this doggy conversation.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad your doggies are both okay. I don't know if we've talked about this, but we're getting dogs. We're getting back in the dog business here.
Look at you. Yes. Congratulations.
Yes, welcome back to the family.
Yeah, you know, we, I don't know why at our age, we decided to jump to the deep end of the pool, but we're getting puppies.
And you're getting two.
My. We're getting two.
Plural.
Yeah, we're getting two golden retriever puppies.
Oh wow.
Yeah, aww. Yeah. A boy and a girl, Murphy and Meadow.
Oh. So how old are they now?
They are, I guess, about a month old at this point.
And you're getting about 8 weeks, 10 weeks.
Yeah. So next month, as of this recording, is when Murphy and Meadow will be moving in. So I'm basically puppy proofing the house, starting to puppy proof the house.
Yeah, that's a losing battle, my friend.
Yeah. 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 I'm like, oh, hold on. I probably have to take all these stuffed animals off the lower shelves.
So what? So you say you don't know what really motivated this desire for you and Jen to get these puppies.
I think it was just, you know, that we knew we'd be stable here for a while. And we felt like, you know, it had been a few years since our last puppy passed away. Or not puppy, she was a dog. Our last dog passed away. And so I think we felt like, you know, it's time. And so, you know, Jen had this idea of puppies and, you know, a brother and a sister. And so they could, you know, like have each other. And I'm like, oh, okay. Okay. Sounds like a lot. But
I mean, there are some benefits to having two, especially if they're closer in age, so they can entertain each other.
I agree with that. As someone who always has multiple dogs, you know, we've got three, and I think two is good. I think three is better. Four is way too many. I think those are the numbers I've owned all concurrently. But I do firmly believe that having dogs who can entertain one another is ideal.
Oh, for sure.
So yeah.
But it is going to be extra work, especially when they're still puppies and they're still housebroken. It's going to be some extra work.
And yeah, the thing about puppies is, you know, you're doing the smart thing. You know, you're out there preparing, you're puppy proofing the house. You're doing those things. But here's the thing. The puppy's got all day to think his little puppy thoughts. He's got all day
to find weaknesses in the system.
Exactly. To poke holes in your defenses.
He's like a velociraptor. He will find the flaw in your security.
That's right. He will find a way. And the thing is that he's got a friend. So, you know, they're both thinking their diabolical thoughts and plotting against you. I mean, this is the thing to remember. They are diabolical. You're going to love them, but they're diabolical.
Well, you know, happy coincidence is, you know, we decided on Murphy and Meadow, which also, you know, M&M, which is kind of appropriate now that we live in Detroit. Yep. So we've got M&M. Also Murphy, Alex Murphy, RoboCop. Also Detroit.
That's a deep cut right there.
So I feel like you know, that's it's appropriate. I feel like, and that was all unintentional, but
that's great.
Coincidentally,
because I don't think there's any Meadows in Detroit.
No, I don't. I don't exactly remember where Meadow came from.
Yeah,
but it's a cute boat. So it'll be fine. You know what? We could have called the Mall. You know, Murphy and Mall. we would have kept the M&M.
There you go.
Quick question: do you have a yard at your current residence?
Well, you know.
Oh dear.
Funny you mention that, because we moved into this house in December, and by then the ground was too frozen to get our sod. So it's April right now. We still don't have grass. We still just have like dirt. So basically over the next month, it'll be very interesting because we should be having sod concrete, like extra concrete in the back, like a little back patio area, and a fence all installed sometime before these dogs move in. But you got to time them correctly because it's got to be cement first, then sod, then fence. And, you know, trying to get people on the phone. you know, not always the easiest thing, but it's just, and, you know, of course they've got to wait on the city for permits and, you know, the city to come out and mark and all that stuff. So we'll see how the logistics work out. Hopefully in our
favor. Godspeed. I'll be thinking positive thoughts for you over the next month. Cause that's going to be,
I plan to light a candle for you at Mass, Paul. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Not a lot of sleep in my future, I would imagine.
but lots of house cleaning.
lots
of mopping.
I will get caught up on so much TV because I won't be going anywhere.
You'll be home a lot more.
I will be home a lot more.
I can recommend the O-Cedar mop and bucket system. It's really, really helpful and beneficial. I can send you a link.
Yeah, please do. I need a good vacuum too, I'm sure.
And a carpet steamer, you know.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Send me that carpet steamer one. We got the spray stuff and the brush stuff and the we're probably at a point since we got our little dog that it'd probably be good to steam the stairs. That's her preferred spot. She has this like two stair area, like I'm careful. Although she hasn't done a long time, knock on wood, but our puppy are more like of a puppy dog, has some occasional issues.
Well, you know, Elmer, he likes to, when it's raining or cold outside, you know, he'd really just rather go in the dining room, you know, and he just argues with you when you want to put him outside. No, I can, the dining room is fine with me. You know?
It's more civilized in there. Yeah. It's the more civilized way to do it.
Yeah. Like, no, buddy, you're going outside. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, so it'll be great for you to be able to have all this time to get caught up on TV and streaming, Paul, because there's so much out there. And in fact, this past week, we got Mall Shadow Lord episodes 1 and 2 on Disney+.
Well, you know, like this was a big week for geek television. You know, you had Maul,
Daredevil,
Boys, which I don't watch, and Daredevil.
I don't. Yeah.
What's the thing you don't watch?
The Boys.
The Boys.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
I know that kicked back off. And of course, we've you know, for our Jellystone podcast, Dutton Ranch starts here in about a month. So I have to hop into that. But yeah, Maul, Shadow Lord, episodes 1 and 2. We took advantage of the fact that Aaron renewed his Disney Plus subscription to get him to watch this show. You know, that he renewed it for Daredevil, and we're like, "Hey, let's talk about Darth Maul." because yeah, this was so this Darth Maul series takes place between episodes 3 and 4 of
Star Wars. Does it say that anywhere in the series?
No.
Because that bit of information there is the thing that was gnawing on me. I feel like this takes place after Solo.
It does. So this takes place after Solo. So this is, you know, and that's the thing that I felt like it was missing. Yeah, it was a little bit of exposition to explain, or even a little bit of something to explain where it was. Because, you know, if you just watch the cartoons, Maul is dead. You know, Maul dies a few years before the events of A New Hope. Not even a few years. Yeah, a few years before the events of A New Hope. So, you know, Maul dies before episode 4. He comes back in Solo, which takes place after episode 3. So this is it, you know, and he's a criminal overlord because What's-Her-Face from Game of Thrones works for him in that in Solo. So this takes place in that time period. You know, the Jedi are clearly in hiding. And so that's the setting of Maul. Because even when it first started, I'm like, whoa, okay, like no,
they started in meteorites.
They just assume you know.
Yeah.
You know, if you haven't watched Clone Wars, you haven't watched Solo, if you've only watched the movies, you'd be real confused.
Yeah,
like for sure. I thought that guy got cut in half and shoved down down.
That was me in Solo because, you know, I hadn't watched the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when Maul shows up at the end of Solo, I'm like, the fuck? Because last time I saw him, he was in two distinct pieces, you know.
Yeah.
Remember when they introduced Maul's brother? What was Maul's brother? He was like
Paul. Darth. He was in Clone Paul Wars. Maul.
Yeah.
Paul Maul.
No. hold on a second. I don't remember
something. Saul was his other brother.
Saul and his other brother. Daryl. Daryl Maul. His other brother, Daryl.
My name's Maul. This is my brother, Daryl. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But,
the Witches of Angmar brought... Oh, it's Savage Opress.
Savage Opress. That's right.
Savage Opress.
Savage Opress.
Savage, that's right. Savage Opress.
Yeah, Savage Opress. Spelled Savage Opress.
Yes, correct.
But yeah, so, you know, Maul, he came back in during the Clone Wars. And yeah, if you've never seen the cartoons, like, obviously, you're... Honestly, Maul has done so much in the cartoons. If you are a fan of the character, like, it's worth checking out. As of this season, he is the head of the... Or as of the start of the show, he's the head of the Shadow Syndicate?
Shadow Collective.
Yeah, the Shadow Collective. You know, kind of tying in a number of different threads that have happened in Star Wars past, whether it's Solo, a little bit of the underworld component from Shadows of the Empire, even though that's no longer canon, you know, stuff like that. And so basically Maul, which I don't know if I missed it. Like, I don't know if this takes place in Coruscant or a different planet.
I don't think it does. At first, you know, when they show you, like, the cityscape lines, I'm like, that looks like Coruscant. But they're always like...
Part of Coruscant, right?
But when they talk about, like, bringing in the Empire and how they're going to lock down the plan, like, this is not Coruscant.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of, like, setting that I think is missing from the show. Yeah. But, you know, what we do have is we have a very... At least for me, it was a very different kind of Star Wars show than any prior, especially animated Star Wars show that I've seen. What did you guys think of Maul, Shadow Lord?
So I love the animation. You know, sometimes I don't quite jive with the animation styles. Think about Rebels, but I like the animation and I like the kind of organized, it's kind of like The Wire of Star Wars. You know, you got your organized crime, you got the cops that are pursuing. I think Captain Larson is kind of a hoot. I like how he wears his, you know, he's got his gun belt out, Nick Fury style. And I only got about halfway through the second episode, so there may be more that I haven't seen yet. But I like these two kind of, you know, in hiding Jedi beggars, monks that are out wandering around the Twi'lek, and I'm not sure what race the dragon looking guy is, but I'm enjoying it so far. Aaron?
Yeah. I liked it too. I think the animation's terrific. I like Paul. I feel like there's some key setting issues that haven't been addressed that would have made it easier for me. Yeah. I was like yourself, Andrew. I was like, is that Coruscant? And then they do a where they retreat to in the second episode, I think. I was like, oh no, I don't think this is Coruscant at all. And then to your point, you know, if the Empire comes in, they'll lock down the entire planet. Well, you know, the Empire is Coruscant. So, So anyway, I would have liked to have not wasted my time trying to figure out
guessing
where we were. Yeah. Right. I also would have benefited from, hey, this takes place between, you know, Solo and episode, you know, 4, you know, or episode 3, yeah, or whatever.
Yeah. And don't tell me it's explained in the comic book prequel, because like, even if it is, like, I shouldn't have to read that to enjoy the show.
That's right.
None of us read the comic book prequel, right?
I picked up the first issue, but I have not read it.
I was not paying attention to the fact that there was a comic book prequel. But
all right, continue, Aaron. Sorry.
I the only other thing, I liked everything about the show with the curious absence of any sense of humor. I really, you know, I understand that, you know, Darth Maul is not, you know, a funny ha-ha guy, and he doesn't surround himself with ha-ha. And I understand that, you know, Jedi, particularly Jedi, you know, who are in hiding, are not going to be haha people. But there is an opportunity with law enforcement to have a buddy cop thing going on. And I know I talk about buddy cop all the time when I'm talking about Star Wars. I just needed somebody to not be so dead dog serious in this show. And I just would have enjoyed just a tiny bit of levity. And there's just none there. And I find it wearisome when I'm watching Star Wars, that, you know, when things are just so very, very, very serious, because that's not what people do. You know, people tell jokes in the worst and darkest times. And I would have enjoyed that. I would have enjoyed that. Particularly, I felt like the detective would have been a good opportunity, because that way you're not, you know, tilting the perspective on the Jedi, or, you know, Darth Maul and his team.
Go ahead,
Andrew.
I also was a little odd that, you know, when Captain Larson early is like, oh, it's one of those laser swords. I haven't seen those since the Clone Wars. But this is set, according to this Polygon article I looked up to figure out where it's set. It's set about 1 year after the episode 3, about 18 years before episode 4. And
so it's
on
not
the planet
that long ago.
Yeah. Right, that's right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, even if it was 5 years ago, even if it was like 5 years after episode 3, it's like the Clone Wars wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
Like this, you know, kind of like, it's so bizarre. But
I haven't seen one of those since the Clone Wars. Like, you mean like last year?
Like two, three years ago. But it's supposed to be set in a place called Janix, J-A-N-I-X, which is a planet that's primarily ruled by crime syndicates, is about all this Polygon article says about it. So take that for what it's worth.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, that's I wish that was explained in the show.
Same.
But you know, here's,
I want to go read this prequel comic now.
Yeah. I will say, much like Aaron, I enjoyed the show. I actually really did enjoy the show, and I liked, you know, I think Andrew, you said, you know, like the Wire aspect of it, like, right. I enjoyed that. I thought, oh, this is, you know, it's different, right? We're getting a kind of a different kind of Star Wars storytelling, and I enjoyed that about it. But at the same time, I was like, I very much was like, there's like no joy or humor in this at all.
Yeah.
Nope. You know, like it really, you know, and I, you know, it, perhaps that's inspired by Andor, right? You know, by the fact that Andor did so well, and Andor didn't have a ton of joy or humor in it either. So, you know, perhaps we're seeing that influence a little bit, and maybe we'll see it come up more. It's a Maul show. Like, they definitely have leaned into the darkness of not just that character, but the world around him in the show. So, I mean, it's not your typical Star Wars storytelling, but at the same time, it's also something that they've talked about for years, even when George Lucas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this was going to be, wasn't it like going to be like an HBO series or something with.
Yeah, Star Wars Underworld was, yeah. You know, like he had a whole, like multiple seasons plotted out for the Star Wars Underworld thing.
Yeah. I mean, like I think a season's worth of scripts were written.
Yeah.
That they just never got around to doing anything with.
And, you know, according to Dave Filoni, you know, who's now the head guy of Lucasfilm, he's like, a lot of this is inspired by what George Lucas had actually originally planned. So I think what we're seeing here is not just inspiration from that Star Wars Underworld TV series, but inspiration for what Lucas had planned for Darth Maul, because he had planned for Darth Maul to be the main villain of his third trilogy, had he stayed on and done it. So I think we're seeing a little bit of those two influences combined in this show, which, again, is all background and doesn't really, you know, like, it's only because I'm a fan that I know these things. But at the same time, like, it kind of, I'm very interested in seeing where this goes. You know, it seems like Maul has taken on an apprentice, and, you know, Maul clearly is anti-Empire. You know, he feels, you know, like he's been betrayed by the Empire. He is no fan of the Emperor anymore. And so, you know, I'm curious to see where this goes, because it's just something different from that Star Wars.
So Maul says in the show, you know, that he was betrayed by Darth Sidious. Is that something that happened in the Clone Wars? Is that something that happened on screen, I guess, is my question.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause remember, he does confront Sidious in one of the episodes of the Clone Wars.
Okay. Yeah. I don't remember
the exact moment, but I do think that unfolded during that.
Gotcha.
Okay. You know, I can find that episode of, I assume Clone Wars is still streaming on Disney Plus too, right?
Yeah. Well, I think so.
I gotta go find that episode and rewatch it.
Yeah. So Maul, I mean, it's off. I would say it's not off to a strong start, but it's off to a good start. You know, like they released both episodes 1 and 2 simultaneously. You know our thoughts on when you release 2 episodes at the same time. You know, it's because 1 is slow. But in this situation, I thought, you know, they were a good twofer. They very much led into one another. I thought it was a decent start. It doesn't feel like appointment television, but I will continue to watch the show, you know, for the first season and see where it goes.
Agreed.
I do think the action sequences are quite good. The speeder chases, the firefights, anytime Darth Maul has his lightsaber out, I think the action has been done very well.
Completely agree. I thought the money was on the screen. It looked great, I thought.
Yeah, agreed.
So then also this week, as Paul alluded to earlier, Daredevil returned.
Yeah, Disney Plus got more action out of me this week than it has in a long time.
So what did you guys think about it?
Andrew, did you see it before? Oh, no, you have not seen it. You actually said. So
I watched the first season. I've not yet watched any of the new season that started this week.
Okay. You know, so a lot of the articles about Daredevil Born Again this season, you know, leading up to it, you know, the press articles, they got early access to a certain number of episodes. They said, you know, the show kicks off in episode 3 and doesn't let up from there. I found that odd because I feel like the first 3 episodes were all similarly paced. Mm-hmm. So I didn't quite get that same impression. But at the same time, I feel like almost episode 4 was the turning point. Because
oh, absolutely.
So much happens in this episode.
Yeah. Completely agree. You know, starting off, I mean, Bullseye.
Bullseye.
That's my guy. him, you know, making an egg for the kitty next door, you know, being a good neighbor. That was killing me. That was killing me. So I'm like, oh man, terrible things are going to happen here. And then he goes to the diner, and I thought it was brilliant, you know, keeping in mind that Bullseye has decided that he wants to reverse something terrible that he did for Wilson Fisk, which was to kill Foggy Nelson, or I'm sorry, I believe the Madam Mayor's wife, you know, ordered that hit on Foggy. And he wants to, you know, pay his penance. And so by doing that, he's going to do good deeds. And the good deed that he does is he wants to lure in the anti-vigilante task force into this diner. So he, as he's sipping on his milkshake, he calls in a 911 call and says, hey, Frank Castle's here in this diner. Oh my God, he's got a gun. And then here comes the AVTF, and then Bullseye does his work. And I thought it was great. I thought it was a great set of action. And really this whole episode was. I enjoyed the fight between Daredevil and Bullseye later in the show. Yep. The horrible thing that happens to the federal witness.
Yes.
Just a horrible, horrible. And you knew how that was going to go. Oh, the U.S. Marshals are coming. You're going to be fine. They're going to put you in witness protection. You're a dead man. You know, that's what you're a dead man. We know this because that's why we went ahead and got video. You know, we wanted to get your video, your testimony on video so that you're murdered later this episode. We still have your testimony. but the what came out of the blue for me, spoilers, was the assassination of Mrs. Fisk.
Yes.
Vanessa.
Vanessa. Do you think she's dead? Do you think she's dead, Aaron? I mean, I know she has a giant piece of glass sticking out of her head.
I don't know.
But maybe she'll just be brain damaged.
2 weeks. 2 weeks and you'll be moving around just fine. Two weeks.
Back to normal. A little bit of rehab, a little bit of physical therapy, she'll be fine.
They're just going to put a little Robitussin on it and she'll be fine.
We call that the Hawkeye admission. You come in with whatever, 2 weeks, you're 100% back out on the streets.
That's right.
Perfect. Yeah, I like it.
Doesn't look good. And, you know, yikes. Yeah. I see bad things.
Yeah, Fisk is going to, you know, so I think, I don't know how many episodes are in this season. I think it's 10, actually.
Is it 10? Okay.
Well, because remember, this was originally announced as like a 20 episode.
That's right. You're right.
Thing. And so I think there may be 10 episodes in this season.
And it's already picked up for season 3.
Yeah.
So awesome. So that's exciting. And the Defender, you know, we're getting Kristen Ritter in, I think, in the next episode. I think she shows up in the next episode.
Yeah, hard to say because they keep advertising her, but she's not in yet. And Aaron, you are right. It is actually only 8 episodes.
Is it 8? So, okay. Yeah. You know, we get the Defenders next time, and I'm hoping for an Iron Fist. That's my big hope.
So. Well, yeah, how spoilery do you want to get, Aaron? Like, should I be quiet here, or do you want to know what's rumored or leaked?
Tell me what's rumored.
Well, you know, the Defender. So there are set photos because they've been filming season 3. Like, I think season 3 is literally wrapping filming now.
Yeah.
Set photos show that the Defenders are back, including Iron Fist, like the actor and everything. hey, different creative team. I have hopes.
Yeah, maybe they'll write for him. Maybe that's a possibility.
Yeah, and so and the rumor is that season 3 will be very much based upon or inspired by the Devil in Cell Block D storyline from Brian Michael Bendis, in which Matt Murdock went to prison and Iron Fist took his place on the streets. You know, as Daredevil. So we'll see. You know, I don't know. I mean, that's all rumors and set photo type stuff. But if that's what they're building to, I'm very interested in seeing that. I'm glad. I'm actually surprised that they're bringing back the Defenders and those actors specifically. But I also have really enjoyed Daredevil Born Again. And you know, I'm hopeful that like that they'll do something good with them.
Well, my plan is to do a Netflix Daredevil rewatch once the season is over. Because I'm really enjoying it. It's got me, I'm really enjoying the current season, and it's got me going. I really want to go back and watch it again, though I'll skip the Defenders.
No, the Defenders was good. I actually liked the Defenders. It was
we wanted to see the Iron Fist
that I didn't care for.
Yeah.
Which
well,
is
I'll funny, skip Iron Fist as well. But I am going to rewatch the Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Punisher, Power Man.
Yeah,
and Jessica Jones was real good.
Yeah,
yeah.
Power Man was really good.
Yep.
And did you guys see the commercial? There's a new Punisher one shot coming out.
I can't wait. I saw the trailer. Yeah. It looks fantastic.
Yeah, very curious about it. Yeah. And you know, apparently it's written by Jon Bernthal as well. So. You know, he's really kind of taken on this character as his own. You know, that was one of the things that actually saved Born Again in season one is, you know, him and Charlie Cox were really just not digging it. To the point that he was ready to quit unless they let them basically revamp it, like, you know, like the actors themselves retool the show and bring in new showrunners and everything. And that's what basically saved Born Again season one. And it's very clearly evident. The first few episodes, you know, the evolution of season one when they retooled it. So I'm excited. I'm definitely excited about what's coming for Netflix Marvel.
But absolutely.
What I'm even more excited about is Aaron talked about this last week, and Aaron has hopped into the Energon universe, specifically the G.I. Joe side of it. And Aaron, you read the first trade paperback of Duke.
That is correct. I did.
And
I'm so excited about this.
You know he's going to disappoint us. You know he hated it. But, but let's do the conversation anyway.
I'm excited he picked it up and read it. So I'm excited just by that.
Yeah, I picked up Duke Volume 1 by Joshua Williamson, Tom Riley, and Jordi Belair. It is Volume 1, Knowing is Half the Battle. Now, I think it's important to note that, you know, I have no experience whatsoever with this iteration of G.I. Joe. You know, back when I was a kid, G.I. Joe was a team. So, you know, this is all new for me. Duke, the whole schmear. You know, I'm aware of them, but I've never watched a cartoon, read a comic book, what have you. I thought this was a really well put together book. I enjoyed the artwork a great deal. In fact, some of the pen and ink is just fantastic, and I enjoyed the colors. I think that visually, rather spectacular. I thought it was ingenious to have the character Duke, you know, essentially see a UFO. He sees a giant robot, a transformer, and, you know, his perspective of reality is adjusted from that experience. And of course, you know, everyone doubts him and, you know, tries to discredit him. And I thought it was super interesting. I really did. I found the book to be more tradecraft than I expected it. I do like super spies, and, you know, that's largely what this book is. I got a kick out of most of it. There are parts that I've landed, you know, a little flat to me. I think those were probably areas that were call outs to fans. It felt like something like, I bet I'd really like this scene if I had G.I. Joe experience. You know what I mean? That there were, like, you know, callbacks and things like that in the book. But, you know, I thought overall it was really good. I don't know that I'm going to come in for volume two. But, you know, I see what you guys like about it. I thought it was a rather entertaining story.
The good news is that there is no volume two of Duke. There's just volume one. But, you know, you might, if you get a hankering for a little more, there's just one volume of Scarlet.
Yeah, which that's would what be the Wayne next. Was recommending. Wayne was
recommending Scarlet. Scarlet's recommend really good actually hopping into Cobra Commander.
Yeah.
I really, really, really enjoyed Cobra Commander, which was published at the same time as Duke. So if you're reading them in order, it's Duke, yes. Cobra Commander, Destro, and Scarlet. Destro's the weak one. But the other three are in fact, the other three are all good. I know it's not your jam, but it's worth checking out. Like, I think especially Scarlet's just a lot of fun. A lot of ninja action.
That's what I'm thinking, is that for someone who has no G.I. Joe background, I think Scarlet is the best of the four. And Scarlet is pretty much completely outside of all the events from Destro, Duke, and Cobra Commander. It's kind of its own little thing, off in its own little corner of the world. And they do a good job explaining everything, kind of going in that you know about her and Jinx. And kind of what's going on. So for someone who doesn't know, I really like Scarlet. Would recommend Scarlet form, and the art's amazing. I think Scarlet probably has the best art before.
I'll check out Scarlet next.
Yeah, Scarlet again. The other, I would say Cobra Commander leads into Destro, but you could read Duke and Scarlet independently.
Okay.
Without necessarily having to worry about the rest of it. Now, I, you know, as we wrap up, since we're talking about 80s books, I did pick up Thundercats Silverhawks issue one this week, which, you know, we talked about.
I'm very interested.
I hated it.
Oh, no. What did you hate about it?
One of the things that I have not been reading the Thundercats books that have been published from Dynamite Entertainment. So, but one of the reasons I picked this up, despite my love, I mean, I have a love for both properties, but it's also written and drawn by Declan Shalvey, who I'm a big fan of and have enjoyed his writing before. His, I think he wrote Aliens.
Aliens run. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was actually pretty psyched for this book. It is not new reader friendly. Now, I don't mean that if you don't know Thundercats, you're going to be lost. I mean, like, if you're not reading the current continuity of these books, I feel like you'll be lost, because this is not core concept of Thundercats and Silverhawks. You know, this very much seems to pick up during whatever is happening in the Thundercat books. So, like, characters are banished, characters are missing, you know, things like that. And I'm like, whoa, okay, like, I didn't realize I would have had to read everything leading up to this. And so that was already an automatic turnoff for me. Second, kind of similar to what we were talking about with Maul, there is no fun, no joy, no humor in this book. It's Thundercats versus Silverhawks. I don't know how you miss that. Yeah. You know, they took themselves far, far too seriously, which, you know, is one of the reasons I hopped out of those Mad Cave studios books, despite being a lover of all the properties there. You know, there's this propensity to make these 80s characters just straight up grimdark.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you can bring them to a modern audience without necessarily leaning into just there's no joy in these characters' lives, right? I mean, especially anyone who's seen Thundercats, like freaking Snarf, and, you know, there's so much humor in the original series. It's like they forget, like, this is supposed to be a fun adventure, not just like angst. And so and that's very much what I got out of Thundercats Silverhawk. So, but I will say, as weird as this is going to sound, there's a backup feature that is a preview of Mumra, the Everliving, issue one, which is, I guess, an origin of Mumra, the villain from the Thundercats, which actually seems really interesting, and I may actually pick that up because it kind of ties back to ancient Egypt and First Earth, which is, you know, just our Earth. So I'm very curious to see how that book is. So I might pick up the first issue of that, but this book just didn't grab me, and I'm very curious what you'll think when you read of it, Andrew.
That's disappointing. I was very excited about the crossover because it was kind of been hinted that Silverhawks and Thundercats coexist in the same world for a long time. And so it's kind of cool to see them combine finally. But it's sad to hear that it was less than good. But I'll still plan to read it once I can get my login credentials straightened out. But and did either of you guys read Firestorm? And if so, is it worth reading? Because that was the other thing I was planning to read this week.
I picked it up. I haven't read it yet, but I'll read it today and I'll let you know.
Perfect. Okay. All right. Sounds good.
So because it was a light week, I continued my archival reading of Jonathan Avengers this week. I've gotten all the way through the Infinity books, you know, the Thanos books, with the Builders. And I'm in the aftermath. And about four issues out from when Original Sin begins.
So it'll be a good time to hop out, basically.
Yeah, well, that's right. I'm going to skim the Original Sin books and get back, because it's like book 34.1, because that was back when 0.1 bullshit at Marvel gets you back into the Hickman Avengers story. So, but I got to tell you, it is so... Hickman's Avengers is such a unique flavor of the Avengers. You know, very different from Bendis. Bendis was a very personal Avengers. This is very big concept Avengers. And, you know, the Avengers, they're not, stopping the guy from, they're stopping, you know, great big, you know, ideas impacting, you know, universal existence kind of stuff. And I find it really interesting, particularly, you know, with somebody who plain spoken and meat and potatoes as Captain America, and But I'm really enjoying it. I'm really enjoying it. And like we said last week, has really missing a good Avengers book. And then I noticed, I haven't read it yet, but I noticed that in the DC app that Supergirl versus Blade is in the DC app.
Yeah, they have a couple of like online exclusive books like that, you know, crossover. So you still, you're a subscriber to DC Universe?
I am.
Okay. You'll have to let me know how that book is.
I every time I'm in DC Universe, though, I'm strongly and compelled to cancel that subscription. Because
read that book before you cancel it.
what makes me mad about that subscription is that, you know, you pay for access to it and they spend half of your time in the app is scrolling through all these books you can't read because you haven't paid for Ultra. And that makes me mad. I mean, I'm like, what am I paying for? You know, you're getting my dollars every. What am I paying for exactly that you're going to lock me out of all this stuff and tell me to spend $10 more or whatever it is? I get more stuff. I just find that frustrating.
Yeah, understandably.
You know, I'm like, I'd be less frustrated if I just didn't have your damn app.
Right. Or if you revamped the app so you weren't just teasing with what I can't have.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, you know, we want to know what you... Oh, wait a minute. Paul?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What's coming out next week?
Well, from DC Comics, we have Absolute Batman issue 19, even though I'm the only one reading it. Next week is the premiere of the first appearance of both Absolute Scarecrow and Absolute Robin. Mm. You know, pretty big deal as to what's coming to this to issue 19. Very excited about it. I'm really digging that book.
Do you think Absolute Robin will be, you know, ridiculously enormous as well?
Actually, it's already been revealed online. Absolute Robin is actually like Robin is plural. So there are, it's the group of like Tim Drake, Jason Todd, Stephanie Brown, Dick Grayson, and they are and they have mechs, Aaron. they have robot suits. So one of them is very much ginormous.
Gotcha.
I look forward to it. also from DC Comics, we get the latest issue of Superman Unlimited, which continues the reign of the Superboys and the return of Boy John Kent. That started in last issue. Kind of curious about where that's going.
Can I pause you for just a moment? We didn't talk about Action Comics this week, but I just have a question about this Reign of the Superboys thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not discerning a thread. You know, I think I've read two books now. I don't disagree.
I'm not getting like a common thread between the books just yet.
Yeah.
So I think they are very much their own stories. Maybe they will tie. Hopefully they'll tie together at some point other than, you know, branding.
I mean, that's all it is. I mean, I just normally when you've got a crossover like this or an arc like this, you know, there is some kind of like, oh, my God, you know what we are. It's the Reign of the Superboys. You know, you'd have something like that, you know, a hallmark moment, you know, to really sort of drive the story forward. And I've gotten to the end of both of these books and I'm like, I don't understand other than, you know, the trade dress. I don't understand what we're doing here. You know, yeah.
I don't either, but I hopefully it'll unfold over time.
All right. Well, I am growing more and more dubious. I'm just saying.
Understood. Sorry. We also get second issues of Batwoman, Deathstroke, and Lobo, which I guess means I finally need to read those first issues. we get the latest issue of Invincible Universe Battle Beast, which I recommend. I'm actually really enjoying that book. Lots of fun fantasy gore, you know, from the creative team of the original Invincible, Robert Kirkman and Ryan Otley. So fun, exciting art. Definitely recommend picking that book up. Also from Image Comics, we get G.I. Joe issue 21, which is the action, which Aaron, if you read Scarlet, this is where Scarlet and Storm Shadow come back into the G.I. Joe book proper.
Oh, no!
So it's appropriate timing.
So I read Scarlet Volume 1 and then immediately jump into G.I. Joe number 21.
Yes, that would be my recommendation.
Uh-huh.
Sure,
yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
That is probably the most exciting, the book I'm most excited for next week. And, you know, I mentioned Mum-Ra, The Ever-Living, issue 1, and that comes out next week as well. So lots of stuff coming out next week. Looking forward to talking about it.
Very exciting.
I was going to say I'm excited to see Snake Eyes back.
Yes. Well, maybe for the first time.
Do you think that an optician or perhaps an ophthalmologist could address that snake eyes condition, though?
No, just 2 weeks of physical therapy.
Quick two-week inpatient stay, it'll all be fixed.
You can diagnose it with like a tumbling e-chart. So,
Yeah.
Well, we want to know what you thought about this week's books. What do you think about Daredevil, Born Again, and even Maul and his brother Paul and other brother Saul? Tell us all about that. Give us a shout at ideologyofmadness@gmail.com. And if you could win a coveted, valuable Ideology of Madness surprise.
You can also hit us up on social media, IOM Geek on Facebook, Instagram, and X.
Well, what a deal, guys. It was a pleasure chatting with you today. And also, I'm super excited the addition of your new dogs, Paul. Can't wait. You're having a puppy registry, right? You know, for the new children.
Yeah, yeah. And you'll hear them in the background of future episodes. Don't worry.
Very good. Yay. Murphy and Meadow. I expect pictures, Paul.
Yes, of course.
Bye.
All right, everybody. Catch you next week.
Podcast theme music graciously provided by Mark Andrew Pope. For more information, visit markandrewpope.com. Funny Books with Aaron and Polly is a production of ideologyofmadness.com. No Spider-Man clones were harmed in the production of this podcast.